Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, episode 19. I'm once again joined by our original co-host, Nick Ann Sweeney. How is it going?
Pretty well. Good to be back.
Cool.
It's been a couple months.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been busy with lots of stuff, but I'm glad we found the time to get back into it.
Definitely.
So we've got an exciting week ahead of us.
I know. And just next time we record a podcast, can you believe this? WWDC will have happened. That is
we'll have plenty to talk about by then.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait. It'll be exciting.
I know. Like, so what are you most excited for out of all the possibilities?
Oh, Drew.
It's at the top of the list.
Watching Tim Cook get up there and say, good morning. Good morning.
Right. Yeah, that's a cool moment.
Yeah.
Everything's downhill after
that's
that.
That's the start of the festivities for me. The sad part is when he says, and all the Apple employees who have made this happen, let's give a round of applause. It's like, one more thing.
We're done.
You're hoping for that one more thing as they're talking about their sustainability efforts or whatever until they thank the people who helped put it on. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I am excited about new watch faces. I think that is the one thing that I'm most excited about. Mostly
is that something we all get?
Yes.
Mostly
because I have only used one watch face until last week. This entire time,
really,
since I've had a watch, I've always used the Siri watch face. With the weather complication above the time, and then the activity complication next to the time. And I've done a few filters on the Siri watch face, like what data sources is pulled in. So it's been really useful for me. But just recently, I discovered the Photos watch face. That was kind of exciting.
There's lots of other ones. You know?
I know, right?
Ever since I heard that the Series 4 might have thinner bezels, but the same form factor Apple Watch, I switched over to time-lapse so that I could get used to the bezels on my Series 3. That way, if the Series 4 actually is a shrinking bezels, it would be like a noticeable improvement. So I'm still on the time-lapse one.
That's a good idea.
Similar to the photo one. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like being able to see
of every pixel.
I just like being able to see my pictures. You know, 10 of my favorite pictures every time I look at my watch. It's amazing.
My dad uses that one. Yeah. He likes that it's an album and it kind of like cycles through all of them.
But it's like random. It's not just one after another. It's kind of nice.
So have you seen some people already have it already, but this Apple watch face that's coming out on Monday, that's a Pride version, but it's like this rainbow animation
that is
every time
awesome.
You check the time. Do you know how people have that already?
I think his name is someone Rambo. He's a contributor for 9to5 Mac. And he is a developer who digs through source code. And somehow he got his hands on some kind of code that showed this little GIF animation almost of a new watch face. So basically...
Someone tweeted it at me. It looked really dope.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait to see them be more creative with a bunch of different types of bands. like, obviously, this is cool, but like, so many other things, too.
I hope WatchOS 5 can go to the original Apple Watch Sport, because my friend Xander has the Pride Band. So if he had the Pride watch face and the Pride Band, it would line up perfectly. And I don't think there's any reason. Like, do you think there's any reason they can't put WatchOS 5 on the OG Apple Watch?
I have an OG Apple Watch, and you can't use WatchOS 4. So I would be extremely apprehensive seeing it go on WatchOS 5.
Really?
Oh.
Are you sure? Because Xander has WatchOS 4.
If you don't know what WatchOS 4 on a Series 3 is like, and you're just stuck on the Series 0, and that's all you know, I guess it's doable. But, okay. Little tangent here, but how I deal with life is I do workouts, right? I walk to work and stuff between train and whatnot. So I'll do like quick little 5-minute workouts. Mm-hmm. And on my Series 3, it's instant. Like I click the start outdoor walk and it's like starts counting down. 3, 2, 1, go. And then when I'm done, I hit the end button and it goes to that little... It immediately goes to that little like information page about the workout you just did, and then you have to scroll all the way down and hit done to like finish the workout properly. All that on the Series 3 is just fine. It's seamless. It works great. The problem is on my Series 0, oh my, you click.
Yeah, that is a much slower chip.
Yeah, It just shows its age. Like you click the little workout thing, and it thinks and thinks and thinks, and it starts counting down. And you're like, okay, we just waited 10 seconds. Why do we have to count down now?
Right, right.
And then that little display page with all the information takes forever to load. It's like calculated in the background, like probably a good 20, 30 seconds. It's painful.
Right.
And then like the watch, the home screen, the little honeycomb home screen, that's not at 30 frames a second at all. It's like at 2.
Yeah.
But right. Yeah, I would be apprehensive seeing watchOS 5 go to the original Apple Watch. I would like it to, just for those people who still have the original $17,000
right, like,
Apple Watch gold right. edition.
Yeah, the solid gold one.
Yeah, I'd like to see them get software support, but I don't know.
They really just need the watch faces, because like obviously the OG Apple Watch is getting pretty old with those tiny, tiny processor chips that were never really fast in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now as time gone on, they've degraded and batteries have, you know, lost their juice. So they probably have to down throttle the watch speed as well. All that stuff. But as long as they could just get that watch face.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, as long as you can just get that updated, I think it's good. I think it's okay. Like, yes, we get the older ones. The menus and the apps are going to open slower. And I'm sure Xander can attest to that. But I think he would really like to get those new watch faces. And those can't use much. I mean, it's just the wake screen.
Yeah.
You know, like, that. As long as it gets that, I'd be content. It's going to start sucking, though, when it's like, only works on the Series 1 and 2 and up. They'll be like, ah, oh, it's happening. Those solid gold versions are now discontinued.
Yeah.
It's a fun couple of years.
That'll make a great Linus Tech Tips video. I bought a $17,000 Apple Watch, and Apple's not going to support it. Oh.
Still got longer support than the Pixel, than the first one, at least.
Yeah. Or the...
it's not sold anymore.
can't go an episode tablet without a Pixel joke. There it was,
no,
folks.
Why?
You heard it here first.
I just finished a video about the Pixel 3, because there's been some rumors speculating about that.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I can't wait for Pixel to get notches. It'll be so much fun.
Right. Once we saw the hardware leak of the giant chitin notch, I was like, yeah, that does look like the Pixel team. But before that, there was this like concept of what a same size bezel, because they had this like picture of a demo Pixel in the Android P beta software that was like, they were using it as an example of like, this is how the volume buttons work. And they used this example of a smartphone that didn't look like any other Android phone.
Uh-huh.
You'd think they'd use the Pixel 2 as an example, because that's what they want everyone to get. But it didn't look like a Samsung. It didn't look like a Essential or a OnePlus or anything. It was just this same size bezel on all edges and no notch. And it was a pretty thick bezel.
Oh.
So, like, it was a bit thicker than average, but it was still consistent all the way around. And I was kind of like, if they do that, I'll be interested, because Essential was my go-to choice for Android.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're bankrupt. And after reviewing the S9 Plus, I really don't care for Samsung skins and their little perks. I just don't think are well thought out. So I was like, you know what? If they nail that, I think that might be my go-to Android solution. I think... Yeah, like if they nailed the... Sorry for people who've seen the Pixel 3 video already. I'm just summing it up for you, for the podcast listeners. Some people are on the go. But basically, if they get the wireless charging, the dual camera, and a good display, you know, one with correct colors and a unique bezel approach, I'd be very, very interested. But we have all seen the hardware leak as well. Big fat notch at the top and big fat chin at the bottom. It's like...
Notch?
Oh,
no
God.
Need.
That's going to come out. You realize that's going to come out after the 10 Plus in the 6.1-inch iPhone and the new iPhone 10. Like, a lot of people forget about that. That's coming out after the new iPhones this year.
That sucks.
That's going to be... The A12 chip will be out when the Pixel 3 drops, and it'll probably have the Snapdragon 845, which will be okay. But next to the A12, it's going to be... brutally left in the dust. So yeah. That's my little subject on the Pixel line, but we should probably focus on Apple since WWDC is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So we talked briefly about this on the Tech Channel, but I was curious of your thoughts of the the Beats branded HomePod rumors. What do you think of those? Yes, no.
So again, the smart speaker thing. I'm not totally into it right now because I don't really have a way to fit that into my life. I don't see a place for a smart speaker. I'd much rather have a second pair of AirPods before I ever got a Siri speaker. Any kind, Beats or HomePod or whatever.
Sure.
Just because that's a little more useful for me. And, you know, AirPods die every 5 hours or so, and it would be nice to swap them out and be like, hey,
sure,
I don't even have to wait 15 minutes.
Well, what I thought was funny was they were like, so $350, that's too much. So lower it to $250. Like, is that really much better? Like, does that open up? Oh, okay, now that's much better. Like, everyone else can buy it now. Now that it's $100 cheaper, this changes everything. I'm like, that still sounds like too much for most people and probably too loud or too overkill for most people.
Yeah, they should just take that zero off and make it $25 and give it away like the Google Home Mini.
It has the same speaker as like your iPhone 10. It's just like the tiniest smart device, but like it lights up just a little bit.
It's like that little,
like the size of a caterpillar. Yeah.
It's that little square reader, you know, those things you could plug into the headphone jack and swipe credit cards, like that size, like little half inch by half inch, little square. Lose it in the couch cushion.
I just, because I heard, did you hear that the HomePod is, I think they said they sold something like 600,000 units, which equates to, what is it, 6% of the smart speaker market?
Yeah, I did hear that.
It's not a big chunk, but considering the expensiveness of it and the limitedness about it, that kind of surprises me that it even got that far.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of figured that it would be in the 1% because, you know, who, first of all, most people are like you, Nick. I think most people are like, I live in a smallish type room or I live with other people and I can't just blare music out of a really powerful speaker all the time.
That'd be nice. So I'd love to do that.
I just got the 11.4 on them today. So
I was going to say, hey, it's AirPlay 2 is here. Tell me about that.
It's I thought about doing a video on it, but there's really not much to say. It's kind of like, yep, it's what they said.
It's what they said it would, like, be last year.
It took way too long to come out, but yeah, it's here.
Almost a year.
Like, paired them together and I was like, here, let's see if this works. So we pressed play and it played to both of them. I was like, great. All right. They fixed it. That's enough.
all that hype and all that waiting for that kind of a review.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like what I think AirPower will be like when it finally comes out. As soon as AirPower drops, even though like every stream, every video is still like, where is AirPower? Where is it? I need to know. And it'll come out and everyone will be like, okay, cool. Thanks. Moving on. It's not the biggest thing in the world. Like, we used iTunes on my Mac to pair the HomePods together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that works almost identically to AirPlay 2. It's just, you can do it from your phone instead of from your Mac now.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves me like one step. What I was doing was controlling my iTunes library via the remote app on my phone. So from iOS, I could get both the HomePods to play the same song anyway.
Yeah.
This just saves a step and puts it in Control Center. So it's like, oh, great. And then you move on. So, yeah, I mean, have you seen the people complaining that with the new update, you can't AirPlay video and video audio from like your camera roll now with the HomePods?
No, I haven't. Yeah, again, it doesn't affect me, so I haven't read any of those articles.
Yeah, that's fair. It really doesn't affect me either, because for me at least, I think I'm the ideal HomePod user. I'm just like, I need it to play music, you know, and I like it because it sounds good. And we pair it to our Apple TV, so whenever we're watching movies or TV shows, it plays that. I'm not the kind of person who like pairs the HomePod with my phone and then watches videos I recorded on my phone with the HomePod.
Because iPhone microphone quality only goes so far.
Yeah, really, though. It's kind of those situations where it's like, yes, I agree, Apple's not perfect, but usually when they make mistakes, it's not in such a way that it's not worth buying the product. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, why can't you do that? Huh. So I'm like, oh, really? I've never tried actually watching a video I actually didn't know you could watch a video in the camera roll and have it output to the HomePod. People are like, look, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, oh, you could do that?
That was the only reason why I bought a HomePod, so I can listen to my home videos.
Watch my Instagram live on my HomePod speaker. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little thing. I don't know if that's a bug or if they intentionally were like, you know what? There's too many ways to connect to your HomePod. There's just too many ways. We need to shrink it down even further than it's already been shrunk. We need to keep going. This product's not controversial enough. How do we make it even more controversial?
Well,
so
speaking of which, controversy of the HomePod, what do you think they need to do with Siri? Not just on the HomePod, but with everything. Because I have some extremely strong opinions about Siri.
I think there is some very obvious fixes Siri needs. I never think Siri's better than the Google Assistant. Let me get that out in the open. I've said this 100 times by now, but there has never been a time where I thought the Google Assistant was dumber than Siri. That's never been true. All right? When I talk about Siri, I'm saying that she has some improvements she needs to make. Set more than 15 timers or whatever people have, or calendar events from the HomePod or something don't line up. There's a couple of things like that, and I'm just like, yeah, you're right. That should work. But overall, for what I need Siri to do, I think she does great. I ask her to text things. I ask her to play music and play podcasts, and she does that. I'm satisfied with that. Or like show times for a movie. What Siri seems to get the most criticized for is random factual question knowledge, which the Google Assistant's obviously very good at because she's hooked up with Google and the knowledge of Google search. Basically, the Google Assistant has the ability to do a Google search immediately as soon as you ask a question and try to find the best answer. It would be great if Siri could do that, but I wouldn't really use it. It's not something I do a lot. I'm never really just thinking here random questions like how much sugar is in this product. Like, and I don't think like that. Siri is something that I ask her to do when I can't do it myself. Like I can't text someone. I can't play a certain song because my eyes are on the road or I need to set a timer for this or whatever. That's what Siri's good for me. If I need to Google something, it's usually a rare enough occasion that I can just look it up myself. And that's a lot more comfortable than me trying to articulate, like, how much money did Solo at the box office earn from Friday through Sunday? Like, I don't want to articulate that. I'd rather just go to Box Office Mojo and check myself. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes easier not to articulate that's why I'm not that into it.
Yeah. But
yeah, so that's my thoughts on Siri. I think she's fine. I think that if they made her better, no one would really notice anyway.
Yeah.
But what are your strong opinions? I'm curious.
Well, so first off, I downloaded the Google Assistant on my iPhone.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry.
I have it.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
no, we both do. We're good. It's on iOS. They want us to use it.
I know, right? And I've never, ever done that. It was IO 18 that sold me on the Google Assistant. And I have that complex now where, like, grass is greener on the other side. I go to Siri and she can't do something or just, like, turns up a random Bing search.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I wonder if Google Assistant would be able to do that. And I ask it the same way and she's like, bling, here you go. And it's like all the information I was looking for. And I'm like, that's helpful. In my classes and stuff, a lot of times I'll be sitting at my desk typing like a paper or doing some research or something. And I just have like a quick definition search that I want to do, but specifically for accounting related things. And so a lot of times I'll say, hey, Siri, what does, a debenture mean in accounting? And Siri can't be like, oh, a debenture is unsecured debt. But Google Assistant can. She's awesome about that. So I do appreciate that. But once again, Siri is, you can access her anywhere, anytime just by saying the magic words. Google Assistant, you have to open the app and then click a button. It's kind of inconvenient.
Right.
So I'm not saying that Google Assistant on iOS is any better than Siri. I think that they're about the same because the amount of time that it would take for me to ask Siri have her turn up a random Bing search and then me scroll through the five options and find the one that I want and then click that and wait for it to load. It's about the same amount of time as me clicking the Google Assistant app, opening it up, talking or clicking the button to talk and then saying it as the Google Assistant. So yeah, definitely random searches. I would appreciate Siri not just binging things. Come on, guys. Apple, you're the richest company in the world. Why are you using Bing? Bing should have died in 2010 with IE and Windows 8. Bing should not be a thing, folks.
They don't want to feed the beast, I guess.
Feed it. They know. It's a good beast. I love it. It works.
That beast is their main competitor, and they know that the more Google searches, the more money they make. But you know, like they take $3 billion from Google a year just to be the default search engine in Safari.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like Google upped it to $5 billion, if they could switch Siri over to googling things instead of Binging it.
I would be very happy. Come on, Tim Cook, that's $2 billion in your pocket, and you make me happy. It's a win-win-win, except for Google.
Yeah. Lately, Apple's been kind of giving people what they want in several regards. Mm-hmm. Like with iOS 11, I thought we got a bunch of stuff people were asking for a long time. And now with like stuff like the black bezels on the iPhone 8, it's like, oh, wow, you're actually listening to people's design advice. That's interesting. So,
yeah,
it makes me wonder with the outcry of Siri, especially with a lot of polls and reports out there saying that most consumers who bought the iPhone X are happy with it, with the biggest complaint being Siri.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if that's making like headlines and like most polls are saying that the one feature they're not satisfied with on the most profitable, biggest iPhone they sell is Siri, then I'm hoping that means Apple's going to take a jump there and be like, okay, we hear you. Lots of people want Siri to be better. Lots of requests for that. So let's focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, I'm not going to be shocked if Siri's not a priority for them. Like every year they always say Siri's getting smarter, Siri's getting better. And then it changes like two things. And that's the Siri upgrade.
Right.
We just know from sales numbers that having the best digital assistant does not improve your sales.
Yeah.
Because the most successful, like the most bought smartphones, especially in quarter one of 2018, were all three phones that had Siri on them.
Yeah.
All four phones that had Siri on them. And then next wasn't even a phone that had the default Google Assistant. It was the S9 with Bixby. So Siri and Bixby are kings of the selling market, meaning that having a good digital assistant, while cool, and it would be nice if Siri was smarter and as smart as Google Assistant, I completely agree. Businesses probably, like Apple, are looking at this financially and saying, like, okay, we could pour more money into Siri, but what's that really going to change?
Yeah.
I mean, it may change what YouTubers think of us, but most consumers aren't buying phones based on how smart the digital assistant is, so it's not a priority. So they're focused more on, like, you know, how it feels, how the display looks, the feel of the phone, the feel of the OS, and they're trying to get that right. And
yeah.
That's what's leading their sales.
Yeah.
So I imagine that there's probably a smaller division at Apple dedicated to Siri than there is at Google dedicated to the Google Assistant.
Oh, obviously. Google's basically just the Google Assistant these days.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm glad they do put it on iOS, though. It's cool that you can use it on anything if you want to.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've talked. What did you think of Google Duplex?
Creepy, but awesome. Is that a thing?
No,
can I be 100% creeped out about it and 100% totally excited about it at the same time? Like, it's awesome technology, but the ramifications are creepy.
Right. I think that, there was definitely a little bizarre for them to demo it like that. It's like, we're just going to trick people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's the solution. Like, if they don't have a way to reserve their order online, then we'll just trick them.
Yeah.
I think that's a very Google way of going about it.
Yeah.
Like, we can be human. We are humans because we can say, It's cool technology's gone together, but, like, when you think about it, it's not too advanced because we've had robots call people all the time.
Yeah.
And understand responses. It's just never been from the user's end. It's always been from the business's end.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they finally flipped that, and the technology is impressive that it sounds so lifelike and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's too many instances in which the conversation's going to go in a way it isn't expecting.
Yeah, when this
so like
the salon person thinks they're talking to a regular person, and the Google mm-hmm. assistant's like, "I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Let me transfer you to a specialist to help." And then like
right.
it's like on hold or something, and that's, yeah. the stylist well, is well, like, "What do I do?"
Yeah, if it doesn't know what to do, will it alert the user like, "The phone call's not going well. Please help me. Please pick up where I left off." Actually, you can talk to my boss now. Keep going. But
that's funny.
Yeah, if we're getting, you know, after Solo, we're getting like rights to droids and everything. Maybe if you're in
spoiler alert,
Google Duplex will do the talking.
Ooh, there so you go.
You're like,
should not hey, be Google Duplex. It should be L3. Yeah. I mean,
there
come
you
on.
Go. It goes, "Hey Google, state your case." And it goes, "I'd like a haircut for 11:15." And it's like, "Do you plead guilty or not guilty? I'm looking for a haircut between 11 and 11:15." That's how that conversation. And he just keeps saying, "State your case, Google." I'm a human.
It would kind of be
talk.
It kind of be fun to get on the other end of one of those Google Duplex calls and try to trip the robot up.
Well, yeah, because I wonder, like, what if in some of these situations they're going to be like, "Are you a rewards member, or do you want to sign up for our newsletter?"
Yeah.
And knowing Google, I'm not 100% sure they're always going to assume I'm not interested.
Sure.
I feel like
you give
Google
5 cents.
Like, "Where can we sign you up for our newsletter?" The Google Assistant knows where you live because it mm-hmm. uses your location. So it's like, "Oh, this person, they want to send a newsletter. I want to sign my user up for the latest information. Of course. Of course I do. Here's the address. Here's the home address so you can mail things." And hopefully Duplex just knows always to say no to anything that wasn't specifically requested. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't always trust Google with that type of information.
I feel like Duplex could start a new trend, reverse prank calling. You call Google Assistant right. and mess up until you get an operator.
If you keep saying weird enough stuff, maybe it'll be like,
"The iPhone is better. Siri is smarter."
They luckily did say, though, that they're going to make Duplex state that it's a robot before the phone call starts. After the backlash of the...
Well, what's the point, then?
It's like, won't people hang up after that?
"Hi, hello. I'm the Google Assistant calling to reserve a reservation. I'd like to reserve a reservation between 12 and 12:15. Uh-huh."
Yeah, it's kind of a weird idea when you think about it. It's like, we put in the ums and the huhs, even though those aren't... The robot doesn't need to say that.
Yeah.
They specifically add that in to deceive.
Yep.
And I feel like maybe that's just a bad habit we shouldn't let computers get in the hang of. Like, let's teach computers how to deceive others. Let's teach the Google Assistant and AI how to trick people. This idea that we can use, you know, farce so that we get what we want, so that we convince someone else we are human when we're not.
Yeah,
like in the instance of booking a haircut, it's harmless. But I don't like that path they're going down. The idea of just like, it's a robot. It doesn't need to say
Yeah,
just have it say what it needs to say, you know, articulately and easy to understand, and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
The and things are just that's just bizarre. We don't need Siri to do that.
No.
Siri, make a phone call. She's like, "Call it yourself. You have a phone."
I am
it
a phone.
It takes 30 seconds. Right.
Yeah.
It takes 30 seconds. You can do it.
So,
come on.
So, two other things that I hope Apple fixes with Siri a couple days. Mm-hmm. I am quite envious of, I'm not sure if it's Samsung or the Google Assistant. I can't really tell them apart because I don't care that much.
Bixby.
But yeah, Bixby. knows mm-hmm. quite a bit. but it would. Okay, so they, it's some keynote somewhere. They demoed, like, okay, Google. Oh, good. I don't have any Google things. I just scared for a second. Well, sorry to anyone who's
problem solved.
Set that off. But anyway,
we're long past that now.
Yeah, they say, get directions home and tell my mom that I'm on my way home or whatever. Because that's something I do every single day. I just send my mom a quick text when I'm on my way home from school or work. And she knows that I'm on my way and, you know, she can have dinner ready or whatever. She just knows, which is nice.
Right.
But the problem is I have to do it twice. I have to summon Siri twice. I have to say, hey, Siri, get directions home. And then wait for her to get directions home. And then sometimes she doesn't even get directions home. Sometimes she will, like, default to the password thing, or the fingerprint thing. You have to put your finger on the fingerprint. And then she just opens maps with the directions preset. But you have to click go. I'm like, why do you do this, like, a quarter of the time? This makes no sense. So she does that sometimes. It's annoying. You have to touch the phone. Whole point of Siri is not to have to do that. And then I have to summon Siri again and tell her to call my mom or tell my mom that I'm on my way home or whatever I want to do. And it would be nice if I could just say, hey, Harry, get directions home and tell mom I'm on my way home or tell mom my ETA. Sure. That's another thing that would be nice. You know, you're on your way to meet a friend or something and you hit some traffic instead of having to say, look at your phone, be like, oh, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. Then you say, hey, Harry, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Just say, hey, Siri, text. Oh, I did it. I did it. Bummer.
The hey, Harry.
Yeah, the hey, Harry.
Could set it up.
Sometimes when I say Sirius 3, she'll listen, which is kind of funny.
The Google Assistant will go off to anything that rhymes with it.
Moobble Assistant.
Moobble. Boy, Booble, and it'll go off, yeah. I love it.
Anyway.
It's so hypersensitive. But yeah, you're right. The Google Assistant added those kinds of features at the last I/O that you can two separate commands and it'll do both in that order. Yeah. No, that's for sure. That's a lot smarter. Siri should be able to do that. We kind of had this problem last year. Last Worldwide Developers Conference, everyone was like, Siri's not as smart. Siri needs to be smarter. They're going to update Siri. And then we really didn't get much.
Yeah. We got nice voices. Siri's voice is much nicer now. That's true. I will give that to them. Siri's voice is a lot better than it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Very smooth. And
that's it.
Yeah, the smartness of it hasn't gone up very much. So, yeah, here's hoping, but I'm not going to hold out and expect it to happen. I don't think it's a must. Apple must do this if they expect anything to go well. There she is. She's listening.
I know. She is listening.
Do you think it's funny how, like, in regards to Siri, how they want to do a Beats-branded HomePod? But, like, why?
Yeah.
Why make it Beats?
I mean, well,
because if it sounds worse, they want to be able to say it wasn't them?
I feel like Beats is Apple's playground for ideas that they know the market needs, but they don't want to have their brand attached to it. Like, look at the Beats X. Like, everyone who uses the AirPods is like, oh, I'm going to lose them or whatever the case is.
I need a wire to attach them both.
I need a longer battery. Or the wire, really, or, like, the silicon head tip. Some people really like that.
But, so they go, hey, we have an option there.
Pairs with W1. It's $10 cheaper. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Actually, it went on a special recently on the Apple Store, we noticed. And I think it was $120.
Really?
It got a lot cheaper recently.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. I saw it and went like, oh. I think the deal's over now. But for a limited time, I saw there was some kind of special and you could get Beats X for like around $120. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right. Beats is the playground for them to mess around with things like the Beats Studio headphones, the really big and over-ear type headphones that also have the W1 chip and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope they are able to make a HomePod that's cheaper but still sounds pretty good, but I personally think $250 is still too high. That's not fixing the problem.
Need to go much lower than that.
Yeah, I think if they want people to be like, oh, okay, I might actually buy one now, they have to get around $150.
Yeah.
at least.
I think at about 150 or 100, I'd consider to at least play with it. I'm not sure how much use I'd get out of it, but, you know.
It'd at least be like a digital assistant dedicated device. Maybe not just for listening to music, but also just for, like, controlling HomeKit-enabled stuff and the Siri text messaging and stuff like that. So, yeah, the HomePod is undeniably a controversial product, and I think it has every right to be.
Yeah.
It completely deserves all of the critical feedback it's getting. I see it all the time, and I don't deny it. I'm like, yeah, I understand why you may be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for someone like me, who's an Apple Music subscriber, long time, never really been a Spotify guy. I've tried it a couple times, wasn't too into it. But for a guy who doesn't ask my digital assistant for random facts all the time or definitions and stuff, and I'm just talking about texts, reminders, music, podcasts, for that kind of stuff, Siri's perfect. It's good for me, but
yeah.
I understand that that's not everyone. I completely get that.
Yeah. So the last thing I hope or like need Apple to fix with Siri is just how fragmented she is. I guess I call her she. Some people call him he because they use the male voice, but I'm a default person.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
you pick your gender for Siri.
Sure.
Okay, so on my phone, Siri is the most capable, right? She can send text messages. She can make calls. She can browse or like even browse Twitter. She can do a lot of things. On my watch is the most convenient version of Siri. I raise my wrist, say the magic word, send a text. Don't even have to touch anything. Don't even have to think about it. It's amazing. I go to my iPad. Siri is pretty helpful. It's pretty much the same as the iPhone as far as Siri, which is good. That's how I wish it was on everything. But then I go over to my Mac, and I never really used Siri before I got this new 15-inch MacBook Pro. And it has that dedicated Siri button. And so I have just come to realize in the last, like, 2 weeks how dumb macOS Siri is. She cannot do anything. Yeah. She can't set a timer. Really. She can't even set a timer. Like, what?
Or control any of your HomeKit stuff.
Yeah, she can't do any HomeKit. She can't browse the web.
I
want to
be on my Mac and hit Siri and be like, go dark and turn the lights off.
macOS Siri is like from 15 years ago. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's the point of like a computer, though, you interact with, you know, with the controls. And to activate Siri on the Mac, you have to click.
Mm-hmm. You can't just say the magic word.
So what is using Siri faster with on macOS? Because with your phone, you can use it without looking. You can use it without touching it. You know, you can tell it to do things across the room, just like the HomePod.
Yeah.
I don't see the point of Siri on the Mac because the only way to activate it is to click.
And that would be very easy to fix because there are many iMacs, Mac Minis, and Mac Pros that are never unplugged and can literally run as long as they want. Your 2011 Mac or iMac can probably do Hey Siri. Like,
oh, I'm sure it could. Yeah,
turn the microphone on.
Just turn it into a little HomePod there. But the point of it on a computer, I really don't see the necessity of. On my MacBook Pro, I immediately changed the Siri button to I think it was hide all windows button because I always jump to my desktop all the time. So I had a button there that instead of Siri, I just tapped it and then all the windows would fly away just so I could see everything on my desktop. So I found that more useful. If maybe you can find more use out of that.
Probably.
Good use of the touch bar.
I'm just a default person. I like everything as default as possible.
What I don't think they give Siri enough credit for is how good they are at deciding when Siri, on what device Siri should be activated.
Oh, I've never had that luck. Please tell me how lucky you have been. Yes.
Well, my interest is that when you have a HomePod
and
you're in a room, because, of course, my iPad's in here, my phone's in here, other people's phones.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a HomePod, when you say, hello, Siri, it will default to the HomePod.
Yeah.
It'll be like, HomePod's more important. HomePod has better microphones. HomePod, even when you're playing music at 100% volume, can still hear you say, hello, Siri, at an average volume. And I'm very impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's cool that even though the iPhones and iPads, they pick it up, they immediately cancel each other out and go, oh, listen to the HomePod. But the only instance in which the HomePod is not listened to in which the HomePod loses is if your Apple Watch wake screen is on.
Yeah.
Then if your watch face is displayed and then you say hello Siri, then it will default to your Apple Watch and not the HomePods.
Which is frustrating.
It's frustrating?
Oh, yes. So
how is this frustrating?
So I'm driving down the highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to send a text message, but I'm also listening to music on my phone through Bluetooth, and my phone is also displaying navigation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to send a text message without touching my phone, so I use my watch because I can use my watch without looking, and I am pretty confident with Siri's dictation skills. Haven't had a problem with Siri's dictation skills yet. She's been great. What are you doing?
Interesting question.
Thank you, Siri.
Perfect timing.
So I'll be driving down the highway, and I don't want to touch my phone. I don't want it to stop playing music, because whenever you access Siri on your phone while it's playing music, it'll stop playing music. So I'll raise my wrist, and not looking at it, obviously, because I'm driving, I'll say the magic words and dictate what I want. But for a split second, the iPhone will pick it up and flash the Siri UI, pause the music, and then it'll figure out, oh, wait, the watch is here. And then it'll close that. It takes like a half a second, but it's annoying because the music stops.
That's interesting. I do this all the time, and I don't have that problem.
Yeah. And then also...
Where is your phone in your car when you're doing
this? Right in front of me. I put it like on the dash in front of the rev gauge or whatever that's called.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I put my phone usually in the passenger seat or in, like, the little cup holder side thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just not hearing it very well there.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, no, I do that exact situation all the time.
Yeah.
I always have my phone there. When I want to change the music, I use my watch.
Yeah, even if I'm, like, watching...
I usually don't have it cut out.
Even if, like, I'm watching Netflix, it's super annoying because Netflix will pause anytime you touch it, basically, on my phone.
Right.
You can be watching Netflix and I want to send a text message. I don't want to leave Netflix and I'll use my watch, but that little flash of Siri will pause Netflix. And then I got to go tap play for Netflix, which isn't Apple's fault. It's Netflix's fault. But that's still
that's
annoying.
Interesting. We have the exact same phone too.
Yeah.
Yet for you, it's Siri must be a lot better at listening somehow.
I don't know. And then I had my iPad that, I'd be sitting at my desk. I'd have my 9.7-inch 2018 iPad out,
right,
just displaying like a note or something or like a web page. I'd have my Mac in front of me, my iPhone on this charger, and my watch. I raise my wrist on my watch to say something because maybe I'm listening to music on my headphones on my phone and I don't want to disturb that. And I say the magic words. Both my watch and both my iPad start listening, and the iPad and the watch do not talk to each other. And it does it twice. So if I'm sending a text message, I have to say yes to my watch and don't send to my iPad or vice versa, whichever got it right. And
this is fascinating.
With my iPad,
I had no idea
it will
that
hear
there were
me. My iPad will hear me across the room. I'll put it like 20 feet away from me. I'll say, hey, the magic word. And my iPad will pick it up instead of my phone. Like they'll both flash and then the phone will go away and the iPad will do it. And I'm like,
this is why I think it'd be very helpful if you could name your digital assistant per device. That way, if they had separate names, you could be able to call out one in specific, even if they're all around you at the same
measurement. That might be nice.
Yeah.
I just want her to know. I don't want to have to think about that. Like, it would be nice to be able to customize that, but I'd also just like it to just work.
I'd be curious to see how this goes with people who have a Pixel and a Home Mini, and like, I don't know, another Home Mini somewhere else, because for some reason sometimes ours will still hear us from like way, way too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Several times we've had the further away one go off and not the close one.
Really?
And we don't even get how that works. Yeah, several times we'd have, because we still have them in here occasionally.
Yeah.
There will be like one down the hall and then one right in front of us. And the one right in front of us won't get it, and the one far away will. And I have a theory that when the speakers don't get used regularly enough, they become hypersensitive. Because we'll be watching TV or we'll be doing something ordinarily, and one of them will just go off. Like, no one said anything. No one even said anything remotely like, hello, Google. Just nowhere close, and yet it'll just turn on. And I wonder if that's Google's way of just saying, like, don't forget about
me. I'm here.
We're still here.
Use me.
Use me. I still exist. And I wonder if, like, maybe the one that's close to us isn't on hypersensitive mode. So if we say hello, Google, too casually, too regularly, it won't go off. But the further away one, since it's used less, it's on hypersensitive mode. And it was like, oh, that was something like the word Google. So that sucks that yours has been all over the place. I've been having a, like, great experience between, like, I want the HomePod to listen now. I want my watch to listen now.
That's,
like, it's been, I'm sorry it's not working out for you. I hope they fix that.
Well, yeah, me too. That's one of the reasons why I'm slightly apprehensive about getting a HomePod, because I don't want to add anything else to the problem. So I ended up just turning off the Hello Siri function on my iPad, because I rarely have ever used that.
Yeah, that's probably a good one. So, if you need Siri on the iPad, you just hold the home button.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. But still. Also,
one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
One thing I realized about both the Google Assistant and Siri and Bixby and digital assistants in general, they all take up like 100% of the UI every time you activate them.
Yep.
Which I find interesting. Even on Pixels, like if you say hello Google, it pops up, covers the bottom half of the screen. And you can't, like, go back to using the phone regularly.
Yeah.
I think you can turn it into, like, a chat bubble or something you can type to. But from what I've seen and from what I've noticed when using the Google Assistant is that there's not really a way on any phone to be, like, say I'm texting someone or I'm browsing through Twitter and I don't want to leave that app. I don't want to stop texting someone. I don't want to stop browsing. But I also want to do something with the digital assistant. Which I think could be a really interesting edge to whatever digital assistant does this first.
Mm-hmm.
Say that you're, like, using Twitter and you say, like, hello, Siri. And then the little Siri pop-up, just like on a Mac, not except, you know, iOS version of Siri. But the pop-up like a Mac, like a little widget comes down at the top, starts listening while you're texting or while you're browsing, hears you, says, do I send it? And you can hit yes or no, and you just hit send or sets the timer, but doesn't interrupt with what you're going on. I think could be much more useful or much more applicable to situations to be like, I need to be texting this other person, but I'm also typing and also texting someone else. Just more multitasking capabilities, I think, for digital assistants. I would like to see that on Google. I don't even care if it comes to Siri first or not, but I think that would be interesting if you could be browsing, be watching a video, or be doing something else, and activate Siri without it pausing everything.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you talk to Google or Bixby or Siri, it has to cancel out whatever you're doing and just be like, now just focus on me.
Yeah.
And it could be just a more background task, I think. That'd be interesting.
What do you think of Siri on the Apple Watch? Do you think she's a little limited?
Siri in general is limited. I haven't noticed what Siri on my phone does better than why. I've been surprised pleasantly a couple of times on what Siri can access without the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She more recently, I think, was able to just start accessing certain Wikipedia articles if you wanted to search things, which I didn't know she could do, so I just never asked. But then I started trying it. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know my watch could do that. So I don't really notice what she can't do that my phone Siri can. For me, Siri in my basic tasks is accomplished on all the devices pretty much Siri's enabled on.
Yeah.
Other than the Mac, of course.
I'd say about 70% of the stuff I do with Siri is done on any of the devices, not the Mac. But
so what specifically things does the watch Siri not do?
Hold on. Let me look. I have a note of things that didn't work. Let me find it.
Mm. Yeah, because it'd be interesting if she was a bit more universal and similar, no matter what device she was on, she had all the same capabilities, rather than you can do these things on your phone and not these things on your watch and these things on the iPad and stuff like that. She could be very separated and, like you said, fragmented.
Yeah.
So, poor Siri.
Not finding them.
Definitely, I don't consider her trash, though. I think too many people.
Yeah, I don't think she's trash either. Garbage. I just think with Google I/O, there's now Apple's not 5 years ahead; they're 5 years behind the competition.
Right.
Maybe not
well,
5 years.
Well, I think in that...
2 years.
In that field, yes.
Yeah.
In the digital assistant field, yes, they're behind. Not everything else.
Yeah.
I think they're ahead of the competition in, you know, half dozen other ways.
Yeah.
But just what they've established with the iOS App Store, I think, is what Google would kill for. So they compensate for it with, we're smart. But then they make it on iOS anyway, so... It's we have it over here. We're good.
I don't think you can send Apple Pay cash with the Apple Watch on Siri.
I do it. I've done it.
Send Drew $20.
Usually it asks for the double click.
Let's see. Dictation is being slow. She says, Siri, send Drew $20. She didn't hear what I said. But we're waiting. She's being very slow.
Well, I do that with Xander all the time.
Really?
Yeah, from the watch usually. And then it asks to double click from the watch the side button, just like you'd be Apple paying someone.
Well, I will trust you.
Yeah, I know I can do that. I do that pretty regularly, actually.
Well, I had that written down from a while ago, but I can't find my note. So I guess we'll...
Sorry, there was a problem with the app.
There you go.
Thank you, Siri. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I feel like I get that little message that says, continue on your iPhone a little too often. Here's one.
Okay.
I'm going to use the button.
Oh, right.
What is the net worth of Steven Carell? She says, I'll tap you when you're ready. When I'm ready. So, I'm on cellular, and it's a long time ago.
She says, use your iPhone to search the web for what is the net worth of Steven Carell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like
Yeah, I kind of wish she could hand that off from the
phone. You just click the one button that says continue on iPhone, and the Siri UI pops up on the iPhone, and it is seamless, but it's just like, if my iPhone can do it, why can't it just go to the iPhone in the background, fetch the information, and send it back to the watch? How complicated is this?
Yeah, clearly Siri is not a priority, but I definitely think that the general user market does not reflect what YouTubers talk about.
Yeah, I get that not many people are asking Steven Carell's net worth from The Office. I mean, I just randomly did that one night. I watched The Office and was like, I wonder what Steven Carell is worth. Ask Siri, and she's like, continue on my iPhone. I'm like, no, I'm watching The Office. I don't want to continue on my iPhone.
I just think it's funny, like, If you based your view of the smartphone market on what YouTubers talk about and what YouTube critics and what Twitter talks about, you would think that like the iPhone is this terrible selling knockoff, and the most best selling products have to be the Samsung Galaxy S9 and the Pixel 2. If you didn't look at stats or you didn't look at numbers and you just looked at what is the biggest YouTubers talk about, what do they think is the best, you would think that the Pixel and Samsung are crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the opposite. Like, they just have a completely backwards view because people on YouTube have a different idea of what the market is than reality.
Because controversy sells on YouTube. Like, they get more views when they say, iPhone X sucks.
Right. And Apple's very easy to criticize.
Yes.
It's not hard to criticize that company.
Apple won't fix my $5,000 computer that I may or may not have taken apart and used a digital CGI spark.
There's no, like, limit to what you can critique for the richest company in the world. It's very easy to punch up at that.
Yeah.
Because they're above everyone in terms of revenue. So... You result to saying, like, the Pixel's got it right or the Samsung's got it right. But then looking at the numbers and seeing what's shipping and what's selling, it's not that at all. And, like, this so-called most hated phone on the internet is the one everyone wants, mm-hmm. the one everyone buys. So I kind of see the Siri Google Assistant debate in that regard. Is it's like, yeah, I completely agree. Siri can and should be better. There's no excuse as to why she isn't.
Yeah.
It's just... That's not enough to convince people. It's more about, I think, you and me, people who are in the Apple ecosystem, and we have no intentions on switching out of it. We're not like, I'm not going to buy a Pixel because it has the Google Assistant. Mm-hmm. I just want the built-in digital assistant on my phone to be better because that one feature on Android is cool. It's not worth ditching my entire platform for, but I want that feature to come to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. I don't know. I feel like I buy Apple technology mostly because I know it's going to work most of the time. And it's just frustrating when I'm trying to figure out where I am. Like, I'm disoriented in a parking lot and, like, trying to figure out what street I need to be on. And Siri is either taking too long to respond or getting me directions to the wrong place or whatever. And I just kind of get frustrated because I feel like I choose Apple partly because I enjoy it working most of the time. And when it doesn't work, it's frustrating. And most of the time, I don't have weird iOS bugs like everyone on the internet seems to have. Paul Gross clothes. But
I don't either.
I have lots of Siri problems. And that's where I see the most non-continuous, like, continuity of Apple for me. Just, like, they're the most bugs in Siri.
Well, and I think the reason so many people like talking about it or like going towards that is when you open up the door to something you control with your voice, there's literally no end point.
Yeah.
There's no point where you've perfected it.
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Yeah, Google Assistant's the smartest, but there's plenty of things she still can't do.
Definitely.
That I run into regularly.
Totally get that. And Siri has gotten better. When Siri was first a thing, I never trusted her to dictate any of my messages. I would always reread it. Half the time I'd have to go correct it. But now, I text you most of the time, Drew, and text like a lot of people. I just raise my wrist, say the magic word, say what I want to say, and then wait for the tap, and then just like cover my wrist to confirm it. I don't even look at it. And that's only gotten me in trouble a couple times. But for the most part, she's really good at dictation, and she's gotten a lot better at that. I just hope Apple works harder.
Yeah. There's infinite room for improvement.
Yes, definitely.
Because there's not really a point where, especially with something like a digital assistant that you can just say anything for and just command for this and command for that or figure this out or figure that out, that it's like, okay, she can do everything now. You'll never get there just because there's like, she could be doing this, she could be doing this, she could be doing this. And we all have these ideas in our heads of what she should be able to do. And I think that, like, especially Apple has gotten people, like you said, used to things working or things being consistent and easy. And they've given us the keys to this idea of an assistant that can understand anything you could possibly say to it and know exactly what action to do and to do it fast and hear you on 8 different devices and know which one to act on. And the tech and the software for it is just not precise enough yet to nail everything. And yet we, since we have access to press that Siri button and have her start listening at any moment, we're expecting, just like everything else in the ecosystem, to just work and to just be fine and to understand what we want. And that vision that we want Siri to be is just a giant gap right now. There's so much room for improvement. So much room.
I haven't tackled that. I haven't ever thought, I wish Siri could book my haircut appointment. Like, I can do those things myself. Thank you very much. But, like,
that's not something I'm like, this takes up too much of my life. I spend way too much time booking appointments on the phone.
Yes.
Like, it's 30 seconds tops, usually.
My barber shop has a website, so there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll call to schedule a haircut appointment, and it usually lasts, like I said, no more than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's once every 3-4 weeks. So I've never been like, we need to find a way for computers to do that. We need to fix that problem. I've just been like, just use the assistants for what they're good at. And if they're not good at them, don't do that feature.
Yep.
And I've kind of grown myself with that. And I've not been very disappointed because I don't expect them to do much. Because I just know that gap between knowing everything possibly I could ask for and what they actually can do. I just acknowledge that gap's there. I don't experiment with Siri very much.
Yeah.
I wonder if she'll figure this one out. I'm like, she probably won't. I won't bother.
Siri on the Apple Watch,
I'll just look it up.
used to not be able to do complex math problems. Here's one for you. Mm-hmm. What is 2 to the 46th power? She says, I'll tap you when they're ready.
Cellular.
Sorry, guys. Slow internet connection today. I'm in Drew's position, however many years ago.
Right. The attic position.
The answer is 70,368,744,177,664.
Cool. Thank you, Siri. That's always wondered what 2 to the 46th power was.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, when students are taking tests, they are required to take off Apple Watches.
Yeah, I've had that happen, and I almost missed my stand ring for a day because of that.
Ooh,
I was kind of frustrated. Yeah. I had 2 back-to-back tests, and I had, like, a 10-minute break between them, and I had to talk the employee person in at the testing center to let me go back to my locker and put my watch on so I could make my stand ring.
Right. Let us, Steve Martin says he has to hire someone to walk his Fitbit.
Yeah.
It's like, here, put this on. I have an assistant who, Siri, close my rings.
I might consider that.
Siri close my rings?
If I was ever in the hospital or something and, like, couldn't physically stand up, I might consider that. Give my watch to my sister and be like, fill these rings every single day. Keep my streak.
Run. Yeah, that's what we're really worried about. Not losing our lives, just losing our...
I know, right? You can't lose that streak. At this point, if I lose my 273-day streak, I will be a sad person and probably never try again. So,
yeah,
better not...
That will take literally forever to work that back.
I know.
So. Yeah, I'm once again, I just recently beat my Move Gold record. I finally caught up. Now I'm back to where I was before I missed a day. Now I'm at 117 days.
Sweet.
So you got me beat quite a bit, but it took... I lost it way back in February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally caught up to it. That's the thing about those move days.
It takes so long.
It's like... It takes so long once you miss one to catch back up again. So, yeah.
Okay. Well,
okay. All right, so that wraps it up. I guess this was basically the Siri episode.
Definitely.
Where we can talk about what she needs to do and all her potential that Siri has to catch up with Google. But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 19 of the Talos of Tech podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm Nick.
And I'm your Apple Sheep, and we will see you in the next one.